Welcome to the 20th anniversary podcast of History According to Bob. It's hard to believe that in 2005, I sat down at my desk with a handheld MP3 recorder, stared out into my office, and did a show on Julius Caesar and why in the world the assassins allowed him to have a state funeral. And I've played that periodically, and from that time, you know, initially, I didn't know whether anybody listened. And we believe that about 30 people or so listened the first week. Many of you are still listening, which is quite an accomplishment in itself. And then we began to get more and more people, and you've heard the story before that we gradually ran out of money to do the upgrades, the bandwidth, and then somebody stepped in and provided us with a site, which I would point out is still functioning to this day, and I still have no idea where it is or who set it up. But it's been spectacular, to say the least. And it has been an incredible experience. Now, you realize that although now I do about 5 shows a week, and we still take off 3 weeks for our vacations, I'm still doing about 250 shows a year. So at 20 years, you know, you're looking at 5,000, almost 6,000 shows. And we've produced over 100 and some CDs of complete topics, which are becoming more and more important since trying to figure out who's telling you the truth anymore on the internet is becoming harder and harder to find. Still one of the few people who lists all of their sources that they used. But it has been, it had its ups and downs of some of the early shows, several years worth of early shows, so it really don't have that great of sound to them. And I didn't keep the original podcast notes, so I can't really go back and re-record those. And then finally, I got better sound. I've got better at it, to say the least. The problem that comes in then, it used to be pretty easy to do. Then everybody wants to charge you to put it up. So we've still had our little system, but it's been difficult. When Apple first started with Apple iTunes, I was invited to put my shows up there for free. And then they have changed and changed and changed. And over the years, it's been hard for people to keep it up because it disappears. And I've mentioned this before. I've talked with their tech people and they can't figure out who in the world or what in the world is wrong. Some people still get it off of iTunes. Most people get it now off of website where we have the access to it. It's just easier that way. To do it any other way is relatively expensive. And a lot of people want control of your media once you put it up. That was one of the reasons I was doing a podcast series in England. And they finally said, you know, if you don't sign these things to allow us to use your material whenever we want to, you'll have to stop. So I stopped. And of course, it has changed now. Podcasting is now basically people sitting down with a video on doing their little things and going back and forth. And I'm not really interested in doing that. That is more of a video podcast than anything else. And sometimes that's effective, but it's really not for me. I'm not, not that I'm ugly or anything, but it's just difficult. The video preparation and editing is so much more entailed and complicated. I mean, I do a series called The Traveling Professors, and if you go to my Bob Packett channel on YouTube, you'll see all sorts of stuff that I've played with. This week's artifact, there's material on courses that I've taught, my wife taught. Those don't take a whole lot of time to record, but they take about a week to put together if you're using slides and other things, and get your video in the right spot. And a lot of our travel, we didn't use video. We used a little bit more. And again, I'm more interested in giving the information and showing you the pictures or the video of the site, not me standing there for 5 minutes talking to the camera. That's not necessary. It's not a big deal. I know a lot of people like that. And I'm sorry. I just think that I would rather have more information and less looking at them than anything else. So it's been interesting. It's been a terrible political time at this particular point. I've lost lots of friends. Not that they were necessarily that great of friends, but some of my students have been going back and forth on that I still follow. I have about 2,000 or so of my former students who are on Facebook and what have you. And most of them are seeing the light of what's going on, but a few have not, and they've had to be removed, so to speak. So It's been complicated for everybody. Now, as far as History According to Bob is concerned, we intend to continue going on. I know that's why I picked several topics that are not going to disappear overnight. For example, the 100 Years War, it certainly has a ways to go yet. We're just at 1377, and it's going to go to 1423 or somewhere along in there. So we'll be dealing with that. And I want to mention something about that. I know a lot of times it's difficult because when you get to periods where there isn't a big battle, you know, we're used to Poitiers, Agincourt, which of course we're heading towards, but that's, you know, that's quite a ways away yet. And then you have the routiers and all the mess that's going on. Sometimes that's a little difficult to keep track of. Well, for Christmas, I got a new series of books. Now, I've talked about this man before, Christian Cameron. Christian Cameron has written these historical novels, and they're incredible. And I talked about the one where he did the Greek warrior, and that went all the way through the Persian Wars and all of that stuff. And that's just superb. Well, he's done a series on the Hundred Years War. And the first book is entitled The Ill-Made Knight. And it picks up, as the Killers book did in the Greek series, it picks up with a young boy's family and his life and what's happening to him. And it basically picks up about the time of Poitiers. And he ends up going to France and as a squire or, you know, just a worker in the army. And he then gradually meets all these people and he goes up and ultimately becomes a knight. Now, he's knighted in the second book, not in the first one. But he gets close, and you see this man rise up through the ranks, and it's stunning, and it is particularly stunning. You know, that section that I did where I talked about the Jacquieres and where we had King John who was being held hostage, and we had one of his brothers who was trying to take over everything, and then he had the Dauphin. Well, this book is right where that takes place, and it gives what it's like, because this man who ultimately becomes a knight, Sir William Gold, he will be at this particular time, and he'll meet all of these different characters and follow through in the battles, and it really explains just how miserable it was for the people, and yet how it was for the soldiers who once you had a peace treaty, then you have to, well, how am I going to make money now? Well, we'll become robbers, we'll become routiers, and you'll work for Sir Thomas Hawkwood and other condottieri. So it's really excellent. Ill-Made Knight, if you like the Hundred Years War, you won't be able to put that baby down. I'm on the third book. I think there's seven of them in the series. So that's excellent. For the series I'm doing on the Holy Roman Empire has been very, very popular. You know, when I first started out, we had 30 the first week, and then it would just grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. And I think at the height, it was about 20,000 unique people a month. And then, of course, things change over the years, and was down to about 3,200 a couple of years ago. And then when I started doing the Hundred Years War and the Holy Roman Empire, it shot back up to over 5,000. So I just probably needed to find a better topic. So that will take a little while. But I know from some of the comments that I've gotten on the Holy Roman Empire, they've really been stunned because it does give the political side of the papacy during this whole period. And it is pretty ugly, if you've been listening to any of those. And of course, we've been doing some other topics. Philip of Macedonia, now that will continue until he's assassinated, and I'll probably do a show or two on Alexander, but I have done a series already on Alexander. And we're on the Mayan civilization as well, and the Barbarian Tribes of Rome has also been a very popular series. But so we have a lot that's still going on. Sherry and I will be going to Paris and Aachen and London over the Christmas season to see those areas and see what it's like at that particular time. We're particularly looking forward to going to Aachen to say hello to Charlemagne and a couple of other of my relatives on the side of the family. So, you know, it's been stunning. I mean, I've stayed with people that have been listeners. I receive all sorts of comments from people that have listened over the years. And it's really important because, you know, it's like when you're teaching in class, a lot of times you can tell whether you're being successful or not by body language. When you're doing it like this, where I record it, edit it, put it up, and there's not a lot of opportunity to interact. When I do get some interaction, and most of it is positive, not perfect, I make mistakes all the time, And it is really reassuring. And also the people who donate to keep the company going, I use that for the websites and all sorts of other stuff. And hopefully we'll get that website updated. I think I have found a workaround to the problem of purchasing CDs because it needs to be electronic. You want to come to the site. You want to see what you want. You want to download it and be done with. You don't want a CD that you got to mess around with. Okay. And it's actually easier for me to send you an electronic file than it is to do the CD. And now the post office, with the way they have postage, it's a mess. But I think I've found a way to get around it. I have to talk to Dave and see if it will work, but we're going to have to try that. But I'm kind of tied up here at this particular point with helping my wife out at this time. And I had the house torn apart because of the tree that dropped on us in July, and that wasn't fully repaired until we came back from vacation mid-October. And then I still had to move material back in, and it always looks like there's lots of time to do things when it just takes longer than you look. How long is it going to take me to put all my books positioned that I want them? Can I put all of my helmets up? I was at church one day, and we were talking about travel, and I was talking about going to Troy, and one of the ladies there runs an organization where they send people to do history lessons or whatever you're interested in at nursing homes. And they said, well, we don't have one at this particular facility, and they offer it. It's open to the community to come in. So they asked if Sherry and I would do that. So we're going to do a show on our travels to Turkey, Istanbul, Troy, and Ephesus. And we're going to do that at one of the fancier nursing homes here in the southern Kansas City. And we'll be doing that over a 6-week period. It's like kind of like a course for them. And I was there to see the facilities, and I felt like if you gave me a microphone, I might just go ahead and preach a sermon. I mean, the screen is gigantic. It's like being standing in front of a huge audience with a movie screen behind you and everything. So it'll be interesting. So we get a chance to go back and teach a little bit, something that I dearly miss from COVID screwing that all up. But it has been a great time. I still can't believe that it's been 20 years since I started doing podcasting. And some people, I mean, Cameron Riley, who I was one of my earlier listeners, and he still does all kinds of stuff, although he doesn't do as much podcasting. But he still does various shows and puts on some great material. And some of the other people who became pod children and became well known throughout podcasting. But it was fun when we first started. They first started and it was like, who are you? What is this? Because most of the people 20 years ago were tech people doing stuff. For a long time, people would see philosophy according to Bob or something. They were using that title that I used to get because it was something that everybody was familiar with. There is another Bob Packett, and I have never contacted him. He's a hydrologist in Australia. And we crossed paths one time on some emails, but I don't know whether he's still with us or not at this particular point. But I've done a lot of things. I've met a lot of people. We've gone on vacation, and people will go, you sound familiar. And I'll tell them what we do. And, oh, yeah, I listen to you. So it's not exactly the standard 20th anniversary show. It's just kind of a background of what's going on. Just hang with me. If I'm a little slow doing some things, I will eventually get those CD and whatever else out to everybody. I've got the letter written. I just haven't gotten together and putting it in one place, trying to gather all this stuff up. Because I will be very honest with you to tell you that I'm just crushed at what's going on in this country. I have family that was here shortly after Jamestown was founded and have been here all along. So it's terrible to see this going on. My relatives are screaming out to me to make sure that I keep telling the truth and telling you what is going on. And I've given out a lot of CDs to people who need some more information on things. So if you need some, just come get in contact with me. We'll see how we can. You can still pick them up. They're $5 each now, I think, is what they run. But if you need it in another format, I can arrange that. I can always put it on a USB or on a SD card. There's lots of different things. The only thing I'm concerned with is technology keeps changing. And I get tired every time I do a podcast being told that, well, there's an update for this program. Please, I don't want another update. I like the one I'm operating on, because sometimes the upgrade is a downgrade and you have to deal with that. But I'm going to tell you that I'm going to do what I would consider a real 20th anniversary show. And that is a show on how I came to history and how I ended up being a historian, a teacher, a collector, and all of that. And I will hopefully that will be something that you can listen to tomorrow. But I'm going to talk about how people get involved in history. And some of the topics are, of course, family genealogy. That's the number one way people get interested in history. The other is where you were born, the surroundings that you live in, city, battlefield, etc. and so on. Did you read a book that you liked? Do you have magazines that have fascinated you? Have you gone to a movie? One of my favorite movies as a kid was Ben-Hur. I saw that when it first came out. I couldn't be more than 6 or 7. And of course, Sleeping Beauty, which is of course a cartoon, but as far as I was concerned, that's the Middle Ages, a knight saving the damsel. So you got stuff like that. Teachers, you're going to have parents and relatives, and you're going to have miscellaneous. Maybe it's a piece of art that you've seen. Maybe it's music that you've listened to. Perhaps it's just odd people that you've run into. We used to do something at our high school when I was department chair. Well, I hired a whole bunch of people and almost every one of them collected something. And what we initially did is we took one empty room at the high school and set up a display of World War I and World War II artifacts that my staff had collected. And we had uniforms, we had all kinds of stuff. But eventually, the district didn't think that was a good thing, because we had weapons and some other stuff. And they began to go, well, you shouldn't have a Nazi flag. Okay, so what we ended up doing is the local VFW in Platte County offered us the use of their facility. So for a whole week, we would set up a display that ran from the American Civil War to Gulf One. And we would bring our students in, and all of us would be there that put something in, and we'd be in charge of a different section to answer questions and give a little background of what was going on, and then opened it up to the community. So when I say this part about people that you meet, we had veterans all the time that came in. And they would come in, you'd see them maybe twice during the week, sometimes 3 times during the week. And we had this one gentleman, and he'd been in and in and in, and he was there toward the end of the day, and we always talked to him, and we said, you obviously have something that you would like to say. Please tell us your story. And he said, I was on a minesweeper during World War II, and they had been hit by a kamikaze, and they repaired the ship. It had been hit again, and they repaired the ship. So when the battleship Missouri went into Tokyo Bay, to get the surrender, his minesweeper was one of the chosen to sweep the area. And he said, we went in and we made the first sweep, and as we turned, you could see makeshift flags come up off of the wharfs. And we went and made it around the second time, and he said there were thousands and thousands of POWs that had been used for slave labor, waving and shouting, putting banners up from whatever country they were, and in all sorts of shape. He said, I've never forgotten that. And so he told us his story, and it relieved him. And we told that story to other people. And we had lots of veterans who came in. And I'll talk about some of those when I do the other podcast. I actually may have to do a couple of shows, because I've run into some really interesting people. And in one last case, I was a softball coach for a girls' fast pitch team during the summer. And we went up to Minneapolis, St. Paul for a softball tournament. And my daughter played on the 16 and under team, but the 16 and under team didn't play. It was an 18 and under. So we went up anyway, just so that she could practice with them and see how the games went. Well, they originally, we were supposed to stay at the university campus, but they were un-air conditioned rooms, and our allergies were just too bad. So I got a place at the Sheraton, not far from the Mall of America. So after we check in, we go down to our room, and there in one of the ballrooms was a reunion group. It was a group of American veterans who served in World War II, and they were having their reunion. Now, this would be probably 1990. So this was, 45 years. So these guys are in their 60s. And some of the people were the wives of the husbands who had passed away. And these guys were telling their stories. And I walked in and I said, do you mind if we come in and listen? And oh, they, have a 15, 16-year-old youngster come in, and they answered all of her questions and told all of these stories about how they dealt with the war, how they dealt with it afterwards. And so it gave my daughter a real presence as to what it's like to be a veteran. And that's what we always tried to do with that get-together with the community. So anyway, that's a little bit of what's coming up. Hopefully, I'll do that show tomorrow and get it up for you. So as always, thank you so much for listening, and please keep listening.